comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people that make them and do not necessarily reflect the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or its affiliates or sponsors. And welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Kevin Smith Show, whoever you are, wherever you are, all around this gorgeous place we call Earth. Thank you for being here. I'm delighted you've made the trip, and we are here because you have a right to know and because you matter. So, Merry Christmas to everybody. We're only 3 days away now, and I hope that you have a wonderful holiday in the company of friends and family, and if you're going to be traveling, particularly if you're going to be traveling by automobile, please leave early, slow down, and arrive safely, okay? We don't want to lose anybody. Well, it would be totally, completely, absolutely, unambiguously impossible for me to give everyone who listens to this show a gift for Christmas wrapped up that you can put under the tree, but I have given you a gift, and I hope you've availed yourself of it, and I hope you're availing yourself of it tonight, and that is all week this week. We've made it possible for you to watch The Kevin Smith Show live free, and as you know, we're broadcast on the internet via internet radio. We're also broadcast on AM stations, FM stations, shortwave, all mobile devices, and internet television. So we have a private internet television channel, and we've opened it up for you this week and invited you to enjoy for free watching the live shows, and I hope you're doing that. Now, if you didn't know about that, here's how you do it. It's real easy. Get over to my website, kevinsmithshow.com, and you'll see a great big link right in the middle of the screen that says, Watch Free Tonight. It's like magic, really, unbelievable. But if you click it, it'll pop open the player and you'll get to watch for free. Really, I'm not kidding you. I know it sounds like magic, but it works. Due to the holiday, we have already begun sending out this week's K-Files. If you are subscribed, you've likely already gotten your K-Files. There are a handful that we haven't gotten out yet, and we had to suspend sending so we could do the show. And that means that right after the show, we'll send that handful out. I think there's only about 500 or so left, and we'll get those out right after the show. Now, I did notice that there are about 20 people who have subscribed, but who have not used that confirmation link in that email you received. And if you don't use that to activate your subscription, you don't get the K-Files. And as you will notice, you didn't get it today. Use that link and activate your subscription, then you'll start to receive the K-Files. Our members community just keeps getting better and better and better, and you know, it would even be better if you were a part of our members community family. You can join tonight, and right now, at this moment, we will give you the first 7 days for free. There's no genius in not becoming a member. It's only 25 cents a day, $7.50 a month. We'd love to see you in the members community. We're going to take a break, and we'll be back right after this. right, welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show, and my guest this evening, Chris Iverson. Chris has been with us before, and it's been a while, it's been a long while, but there have been some big changes in Chris's life, and big changes in what he's doing, and how he's doing it, and we're delighted to have him back with us this evening to talk with us a little bit about that and some other stuff. Ladies and gentlemen, Chris Iverson, better known to you probably from his days with Open Minds Forum. And he is doing something else now. Chris, welcome to the show.
Well, hi, Kevin, and thank you very much for having me back. I love being here with you, and you're a great show to listen to and sit down and chat for an hour or two with.
Well, Chris, tell us, clue us in a little bit on what's this new move, this new thing you're doing?
Sure, glad to talk about it. A couple weeks ago, myself and three of the other former co-owners of Open Minds Forum decided to move out on our own in a slightly different direction, and we have formed the Outpost Forum, or as it's rapidly becoming known as TOP. We're launched just 2 weeks ago. Things are running along here very well. We have almost 250 members already. And we wanted to take just a slightly different direction than had been going on at Open Minds.
Okay. What's the difference?
The difference is part of it has to do with the membership in terms of we wanted to open things up. We wanted to be a little bit more easygoing in terms of the members, the moderation. We also wanted to change some of the focus, as the Open Minds Forum had been formed about 5 to 6 years ago now, on the heels of the Serpo story and its rise at above top secret, ATS, moved over to Open Minds, and that was really the basis of it. We decided that we'd really rather focus here in a new direction, which is working with and coordinating with some of the other folks that are out there. One of the things that we really wanted to do was, instead of just having special guests as we had over there, we're really looking for a way that we can work with, be associated with, actually maybe form a coalition with some of the good people that are out there in the field of ufology. You know, people such as yourself and Bob Morningstar from UFO Digest and John Rayo over at Open Minds Productions, Ed Fouché, Steve Hammonds. You know, there's a whole host of people that we'd really like to be able to work with and provide a place for these people who regularly write and blog on the internet, and have a place where the people who read their stories and what is going on with them, the information that they're able to provide, so that they could come in, sit down, talk, and discuss what they are hearing and what they are seeing.
Well, I have a, I think some people would say, somewhat dark view of anything that let me change that. I'm not wording it right. I have somewhat of a dark view of the possibilities and the ease of success of anything that invites people to sit down and have a conversation in our current culture, because we have become a culture of mindless internet blithering, blathering keyboard lions, but real-time mice who want us to stifle what people are saying rather than open it up, hear what they're saying, and then discuss it.
Oh, I hear you with that. It's one of the toughest things in running a forum is to be able to maintain the civility, the social graces. It seems as though many people, when they're in front of the keyboard, all of a sudden feel that sense of anonymity, that they are not accountable for what they say. They certainly end up saying and twisting words in a way that they would never do with somebody if they were indeed in a face-to-face conversation. That's one of the unfortunate side effects of it. And of course, those are usually the first people that'll come crying to you and claim that their words are being censored, when all you're trying to do is to get them to post and discuss with respect for their fellow human being, understanding that we're all here with opinions. Some of us have backs, some of us don't. Much of what we deal with in this field, of course, has very shaky foundation in terms of the provenance of the information, and quite often you end up having to piece things together. And when you're in that type of environment, you really can't have folks that are standing up and saying, my opinion is better than your opinion, and the heck with you, and no matter what you have to say, I'm going to shout you down. Well, that just doesn't play. And you're right, it's a special form of cowardice that you have somebody that hides behind the keyboard and uses that as a way to knock down other people's opinions.
One of the things that some, not very many, but some of my members get upset with me about is that I refuse, while we're on the air, I refuse to take questions from the chat room. Now, the reason, and it applies to what you're saying, the reason I refuse to take questions from chat is this is a talk show, not a type show. And I have said on air, I'll agree to take your question from chat if you'll agree that me and the guest will just sit here silently and type to our keyboards here. This is a talk show. Well, then there are people that get really ticked off because of that. And by the way, it's not everyone who has written to me and expressed that they wish I would, you know, deal with the chat room. But I have had some have gotten really ticked off and they've written to me and told me that I'm behind the times and, this is a new world and, you know, any show that's going anywhere has to be interactive with a chat room. You will get, of course, never mind the fact that I've done this for 11 years and the show is number one in its genre on the planet. I kind of know what works. But you probably face a similar situation where people are telling you how you're all wrong about how to run the forums and you need to change it this way, you need to change it that way. And how long have you been doing this?
Well, we've been doing this now for almost 6 years, including the time at Open Minds, and some of the co-owners, there's four of us, some of the co-owners have been doing it for even much longer than that. It is certainly something that is an acquired skill. It's a fine line that you have to do, even in a forum where, much different from the talk show format that we are going through right now, where mm-hmm. you are encouraging on a forum people's comments and feedback. But the difference is, as you stated, it would be one thing to sit there and wait for somebody to type a question and be able to sit there and ponder, and you put your answer back when you've had a chance to do it. This is very different from that. Mm-hmm. And whether you're on the Kevin Smith Show or if you're on a talk show on TV, they will occasionally take questions from the audience, but it's something that you really have to do in a controlled manner, such as you quite often do at the end of your show, where you invite listeners to call in and ask some questions. Otherwise, it really does interfere with the continuity of the show itself. So I understand exactly where you're coming from with that.
All right. Now, this whole thing about facilitating a conversation, I mean, you're using one type of media to do that. I'm using a different type of media. And the reason, you know, I said I have kind of a dark view of the ease of success of that. And yet here I am doing it every night. But I think that's why I have kind of a dark view of the ease of success. It's not easy. But here's the deal. We've kind of gotten to this place. No, we didn't kind of. We are at a place in the life of our country where freedom of speech is not practiced. It's preached a lot, but it's not practiced. Everybody wants to have freedom of speech, but they want me to shut up someone else who's saying something they disagree with. And you probably get the same thing. Well, you know, the deal is, and I realize this show is quite different from most talk shows. We come here with no agenda. I have no agenda with you. I'm not promoting you. You got to stand on your own two feet. We're presenting you, and you present the information that you want to present. And so on this show, that's the way it works. The guest presents the information they want to present, and then we ask questions about it. Well, sometimes they present information that seems radical to somebody. It seems very off the wall, or maybe even seems untrue, and they want me to shut them up. My position is, how can you have an opinion about someone and about what they're saying if you don't listen to it? All right, you got to hear what they're saying before you have this opinion. How do you handle that in the forums when someone posts information that seems off the wall, or at least to a number of your members it seems off the wall? Do you censor that person out of the forums and say, okay, well, you can't post here anymore? Or do you let them stand on their own two feet? How do you handle that?
What you end up doing is you end up somewhat facilitating the discussion, because quite often on a forum, one thing that may attract people to the forum is that degree of anonymity. And given the field that you and I are in here, where we're looking at ufology, phenomenology, mm-hmm. people have had some very strange experiences. They've been very hesitant to speak about those experiences.
Well, your audio just died.
Oh, no.
Oh, you're back.
Okay.
We lost you when you said they may be hesitant to speak about those experiences.
How do you like that? What a time for it to crap out for a second.
Yeah.
They may be hesitant to speak about those experiences because of the emotional trauma that somebody can go through when they do it. So when they do come out and they speak about what happened, you facilitate it. You try to ask them questions about it. Try to fill it in with details. Try to associate it with some other event or report. In other words, try to corroborate what they're talking about. And even at that point in time, you can end up with people who are then jumping in and basically saying, oh, you're crazy. Oh, that's a hoax. And so while you're trying to get person A to tell their story and come out of their shell, speak about what they have, you're trying to make sure that it is at least factual, somewhat factual. You've got somebody else that you're trying to hold off. And, you know, just today had somebody accuse us of propagating a hoax, and had to remind them that there's a big difference between propagating a hoax and facilitating a discussion. Just because, as you said, you're hosting me, you're allowing me to speak and talk about the things that I'm involved with, the same thing that happens on the forum, because somebody comes and presents a particular story, or we invite people to come and talk about it or promote it, does not necessarily mean that we feel one way or the other about it. We just feel that it's a subject that has value, has content that people would be interested in, and we are very interested in hearing people come in with opinions and facts, experiences, from what others, whatever side of the fence they may be on regarding that particular story.
Well, I think a good example of what you're talking about, we could just take the so-called Roswell crash. There are, within the field of ufology, within our ranks, there are people divided. Some think, okay, something crashed, but it was not extraterrestrial. It was they buy the Project Mogul story, or they have some other theory about what crashed. And yet they are very pro ufology. And you have others who are on the other side of that fence, and they say it was a flying saucer. And it was alien, and they did recover bodies, and they believe that from the top of their head to the sole of their feet. And so even within ufology, you have this division. one of the things that happens here, and look, this is not recent. I'm not talking about, folks, I'm not talking about any kind of recent incident. I've been doing this, as I said, 11 years, and I've seen this a number of times. One of the things that can happen, and has happened on the air, is you have someone in one of those camps make the statement, for instance, it was not a UFO, it was not extraterrestrial, I wish it was, but it wasn't, it was totally terrestrial, and then the whole Roswell alien thing is a hoax. Okay, well, we hear them say that, and then there are people that will get really upset, send me email, and want to know why I let someone like that on the air. And the reason is, number one, freedom of speech. Number two, how can you discuss that idea if you don't hear that idea? And, you know, we have forums too, but I have some great people who are helping me with the forums, and I don't really have to wade into it very much, and we don't have much of that kind of thing happening in our forums, but I have seen it. I've seen it at Open Minds, and I've seen it at Above Top Secret, and I've seen it at some other forums where the two sides of ostensibly the same camp go at each other's throats. How do you handle that? The same way as what you described, or is it different?
It's really somewhat just the way you're describing it. It is and can be difficult to break up a fight between people that are on the same team. Usually something like that does come out of passion, and that passion comes out of faith, which happens to come from, as you spoke about, you know, go to probably the most famous case in ufology, which is the Roswell crash. There are bits and pieces of information. There have been survivors who, prior to their death, did finally come out and speak. We interviewed somebody at Open Minds, Earl Fulford, a couple of years ago, spoke to us for hours about what he saw. But it's still just somebody relating to you something that they had seen. And then you have some.
Okay, I hate to interrupt, but I have to because we have a break that's taking over, and we're going to come back right there. We'll pick up with talking about moderating the fight between folks on the same team. It's much more visible in forums than it is here on the air, and I will explain why in just a moment. We'll be back right after this.
Smith Show.
And welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. My guest this evening, Chris Iverson. And Chris, as we went away for break, we were talking about how people on the same team get into these fights, and then they want us to take a side and shut the other side up, and you were talking about how you handle that.
Yeah, exactly. When you've got one or both parties accusing you of censorship because you might perhaps be trying to tone down their particular quote-unquote opinion versus the other person's, it gets a little bit dicey to step into it. You do try to remind them that they are playing here on the same team, that we're here to discuss. You try to remind them to respect each other, improper language, and to listen and hear people out. You really will either be able to strengthen your own opinion by hearing what somebody else has to say, or you will find out that maybe perhaps I'm wrong and this other person does really have something to say. Unfortunately, it doesn't always work out so well, and sometimes you are forced to give somebody a little vacation away when they start to lose track of why they're there and what's going on and who else is reading all of this. Usually that does work. Unfortunately, it doesn't all the time. And, you know, you can't say that you have 100% success with it, but it's definitely one of the biggest challenges. And as I was saying before we went on break, is that quite often you have people that are dealing with their beliefs. They have faith in what they believe in. And when you start to question somebody's belief system, you have, well, you know, look at religious wars through the ages.
I guess that's what makes me so popular is I question everybody's belief system. my deal is pretty simple. I will say either I know or I don't know. It is excessively rare to hear me say I believe. Either I know or I don't know, and if I don't know, I'm comfortable with that. I don't know, and you know, I'll listen to some more and investigate some more, and maybe someday I can say I know about a particular thing. But if I can't, okay, that's all right too. I'm not God. I don't have to know it all.
Yeah, and you have things again such as Roswell, which occurred 64 years ago. And you still have new information coming out about it from people who were there and experienced it. So if you don't have all of the information, it's pretty difficult to make that 100% sure, I believe this absolutely without any doubt about it.
Mm-hmm. Well, that is so true. Now, one of the things that we face and that I get asked, and I've addressed it on the air before, I'm going to ask of you. I don't know if you've ever addressed it, so I'm hearing this for the very first time. I have been asked, how sure am I that disinformation operatives do not call the show, do not come on the show as guests? And my answer to that is I'm not sure at all. In fact, I'm pretty sure. I have reasonable assurance that, or reasonable confidence, that there are disinformation operatives that are working the field of ufology, some perhaps even big names, that do come on the show and that spread disinformation. Now, having said that, if I know that's the case, I don't have that person on the show. If I know that's what they're up to, I don't have them on the show. But is it possible that disinformation operatives get in, either as guests or callers? And the answer to that is absolutely that's possible. And that's why we need to listen to everything they say. And that's why we need to question what they say. So how are you with that? What about disinformation operatives infiltrating into your forums and spreading disinformation and disharmony?
Well, I'm going to answer that by violating the tenet that you and I just spoke about and say, I absolutely believe that happens. There is evidence that you look at from people who have either worked in counterintelligence or who have worked in one of the three letter alphabet agencies, who have indicated that this type of activity does occur. So you have to be aware that it is going to occur. And then you look at people's activity. And that's one of the things that I like to do is, okay, well, there's an old saying to start with is you keep your friends close and your enemies closer. By being able to observe what they're doing and what they're saying, you ask them some questions. You might find out a little bit about their background and how they may or may not be supporting themselves. There's a few people out there, and I'm not going to name any names here, but there's a few people out there in forums with no visible sign of any type of income for years now, yet they live an apparently comfortable life. And in at least two of the occasions I know whereby they had a life in the military prior to their activity in the world of ufology and forums, And that life in the military also happened to center in the intelligence segment of the military. So to me, it's just observing and watching these activities. Try to learn from them. Try to find out what they are trying to do. So if you have somebody suspected of being involved in disinformation or in the counterintelligence, what is it that they are trying to work on? What particular story are they most vociferously against? What does it seem their agenda is? Mm-hmm. And from doing that, you can turn and perhaps look at, well, maybe this is a story that needs more attention and might actually lend it some credence.
Well, that's exactly what we do here. That's exactly, we do that exact thing. And that is, whenever they start attacking the show, you know, and they take the guests' audio offline and things like that. And it happens. It happened last week, as a matter of fact, with Stanton Friedman. And we brought up a particular topic, and you could hear all this clicking on his phone line, and all of a sudden his phone went dead. But when they do that, you know, I'm generous and gracious in my comments about them. I call them morons. They're morons. They're mental mushrooms, because they don't seem to learn that when you do that, when they do that to us, it puts up a huge neon sign that says, pay attention to this, pay attention to this.
And oh, absolutely it does. You know, you feel like saying, do you think I'm a fool? You know, I absolutely am following what you're doing. It's as though they fancy themselves to be the magician who is has smoke and mirrors to the left. Well, that's the surest sign to look to the right.
Well, yeah. And you know, for any of them that are listening tonight, hey, guys, you're not Jedi. Okay? You're not Jedi. And it doesn't
work. I know you're
out there. let me say this. I have had some of those to pop up here and there, mainly trying to leave comments on my YouTube channel. And but when I do have one that I'm pretty sure that's what it is, I'm in your face with it. I say, and what government agency are you working for? And I never hear from them again.
Very quiet.
Yeah. Well, you know, when you turn the lights on, the only people that run are the cockroaches.
There you go. And that's a good analogy to anthropomorphize them as cockroaches, because really that's what they are. But this is really what does happen, too, that they are there, and when you shed a little light on them, they'll go running, which is another sure sign of something being wrong there. But sometimes they're just so bloody obvious when they come in that you see them there, and they come in with both six guns shooting and doing the best that they can. They're trying to distract from the point of the conversation. Or in your particular case, as you said, all of a sudden there's clicking on the line, line might go dead, and you're like, come on, guys, really? You know?
Well, you know, I have to thank them, because every time they do that, my numbers go through the roof. It just makes the show more popular when they do it to me, and it makes the guest and what the guest was saying a hotter topic, and people want to hear more about it. It has the exact opposite effect of what they're trying to accomplish. But, I mean, you know, I guess intelligence is perhaps mental intelligence is perhaps not required for that job.
No, it's not.
All right, now, a lot of times people approach not just me, but all the forums and all the shows, they approach it as you are supposed to be the filter for the truth. And,
right.
Of course, you know, my attitude is, oh, come on, folks, you're grown up. You don't need me to babysit your mind. You know, you can think, you can decide whether this person's telling the truth or not. And, you know, we'll just hear it together and then ask questions, and we'll make up our own minds. Do you try to be a filter for the truth?
Not really. It's very, very difficult to do it, because just as you said, you're learning along with everybody else. And in the middle of trying to learn along with everybody else, especially in the world of forums, you're trying to maintain that civility, trying to maintain decorum and respect so that it can come out. You're trying to ask questions so that more of the information can come from the people who supposedly know or have the information concerning this particular story or bit of information. And that's when you have people coming in and saying, well, you're defending them. And it's like, well, I'm not defending them or their story. I'm defending their right to present it. And that's the reason for us to be here, is to facilitate, to have that location where people can come and bring that story out, where they can discuss it, and hopefully where we can get people acting like mature adults and sit back and have a good debate about it, and everybody learns more from doing that.
What do you hope to accomplish with this new forum called the Outpost? What's the long-term goal here?
Oh, the long-term goal is to have it be the biggest website in the entire world.
That's ambitious.
No. Well, I mean, really, what we're trying to do is to have an outlet, because all four of us, let's start with the co-owners, the four of us really share in the same ambition, which is a desire to know. We want to know what's going on. We want to know what's happened. We want to know the information that is being withheld. We want to know what that real core story is. We want to know what it is that supposedly everybody would be afraid about if it were to be brought out. So what we're attempting to really do is to help facilitate disclosure. And by gathering people together of like minds, not necessarily like opinions, but like minds, and having links to, for instance, tonight, I was over at Open Minds Productions here in Tempe with John Rayo, and they have a beautiful facility over there.
Yes, they do.
Website developers, great radio and TV facility, but what they don't have is they don't have the ability to have a discussion forum to monitor it, moderate it, and administer it. So that's what I spoke with him about.
All right, we have to step away for break. We'll be back, ladies and gentlemen, right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show, and my guest this evening, Chris Iverson, formerly of Open Minds Forum, and now one of the co-owners of a brand new forum called The Outpost. When we went away for break, you were just beginning to, we were talking about what are the long-term goals, and you were beginning to tell us about a meeting that you had today in Tempe.
Right. Talking to the fine folks at Open Minds Productions. They've got a wonderful glossy magazine they put out. They have a radio show. They're working on a TV show. But what they lack, and they keep hearing it from the people who are their customers, are their fans, who depend upon them for information, is they don't have a way for these people to discuss and talk about the articles. And that was one of the things that we talked about, is a way that we could work together with them, and we would be the forum part, the discussion part, and facilitate that in exchange for they would be able to bring some of their articles and their shows and place them on our forum and website for people to sit down and read them perhaps at their leisure, and where we can find a way that we can, as I mentioned earlier in the show, form this coalition of some of these groups that can be work cooperatively and work to support each other. As it's as you well know, at times people in ufology and phenomenology can be each other's worst enemies. There's backstabbing. There's I'm right, you're wrong, when nobody has a scintilla of firm data to support their positions. And again, you get back into that faith and belief thing. So what we want to try to do is let's promote this respect. Let's promote this. Let's work together towards the common goal. And let's find out what our common strengths are, our common weaknesses are, and how we fit together and create that jigsaw puzzle and complete that jigsaw puzzle so that we can come together to this goal of finding out what this is all about.
Well, you're right. In the field of ufology, we eat our own. And, you know, and really about the only way that you can survive over a long period of time is to have a side of you that's sort of like making love to a porcupine. It can be done, but it just might not be worth the pain. And, you know, and I mean, I'm very easygoing and very calm and very level, and at the same time there is that side of me, and you know, if a person chooses that that's the side they want, well, okay, I believe in giving people what they want, and you know, it becomes painful, but it is very, very difficult to be public about what you're thinking in this field, and especially, you know, I mean, unless you present what you're thinking on these terms, and the terms are, okay, here's what I think, and I don't care what you think. I don't. You think whatever you want to. It's okay with me, and I'm not asking you to believe. I'm not asking you to buy it. I'm not asking anything. This is what I think. You think what you want to think. And if you approach it that way, you can kind of survive a little bit.
Well, you can, and there's really two different avenues for some of the people to take here now. Where now in the forum world, it's been combined with blogs. So people who tend to think the way that you were describing there at the end, which is, I really don't care what you think, here's what I think. A proper communication format for them really is the blog, where they can go, they can write it. They're not really looking for an exchange. They might be looking for some feedback on what they have to say, but they're not really interested in the give and take and the discussion that goes on. And then you have what should be the true forum format, which is where people sit down and you have a thread of a particular subject, and you get discussion back and forth, mm-hmm. because hopefully people are learning from it as they go through it. And one of the other things that you have too, which really fits also again into the format of a forum, is where, as I had mentioned, some of those people who are very nervous about coming out and describing their experiences. Mm-hmm. It's been terrifying to them. It's been emotional racking for them to go through and live what they've had. And I can't tell you how many private conversations I've had with people like that. So we also look to be somewhat of a safe haven for them. You know, feel free to come here to discuss it. You're not going to be ridiculed. You're not going to be put down. You're not going to be told that you're crazy just because you're presenting something that you've never heard before from anybody. But you should feel free, and you have the right to come to us at the Outpost and talk about what your experiences have been, and we will provide you and afford you some degree of protection so that you can get this off your chest and get out there and start to realize that you're not crazy, and that there are hundreds and thousands and even hundreds of thousands of people that you will now find who have had that same shared experience.
Well, yeah, but let me say this now. I mean, I blog, but I'm also in our forums. And I think there's room for somebody like me in the forums. Perhaps I should maybe describe that a little bit more in detail. When I say I don't care what you think, I'm not saying I don't want to hear what you think. or I don't want to discuss it. I'm just saying, if you think I'm nuts and I'm off the wall around the corner, I'll never be back. If that's what you think, that's okay with me. I don't care. You know, if you want to discuss what I wrote, we can discuss it. You want to tell me that I'm nuts? Okay, that's all right, too. I just don't really care what kind of an emotional response somebody has to something that I say. I guess what I'm saying is you're entitled to your response, and that's okay with me. It doesn't bother me.
That's part of the, as we call it, the thick skin syndrome that you really do need to develop. And you can't sit there and look at a response that somebody's going to give to something that you wrote and think, oh my God, my world is ending. I can't believe somebody disagreed with something I had. And in fact, the expectation that you go into it with is that you will indeed have people who are going to disagree with you. Even if your position is back to Roswell 1947, sure, you will find people who will disagree with you.
Absolutely. And but I think for the conversation to happen, more people, not more, all people, just need to grow up. And I see there are going to be people that get upset, and you're going to send me email and tell me I'm being harsh here. And if that's how you feel, I'm talking to you. Grow up and just relax and realize the other guy is as entitled to his opinion about what you said as you are entitled to what you said. And it's okay. You know, the other guy's opinion is okay. Doesn't mean you agree with it. And that's your opinion of his opinion, and that's okay. It's just all okay. Everybody just chill out, calm down, and then you can have a conversation. Let me give you an example. Stanton Friedman is absolutely convinced Bob Lazar is a fraud. I'm convinced Bob Lazar was not a fraud. Stanton Friedman and I, we don't play golf together, but I mean, through this show, we are on friendly terms. And, you know, he's been a guest on this show a number of times. He's got a totally different opinion of Bob Lazar than I have. That's okay. That's okay. It's not against the law to disagree with me. And I have a totally different opinion of Bob Lazar than Stanton Friedman has. That's okay. It's not against the law. And we can still be friends, and we can have a conversation. And that's really, really important. And I don't know how, I mean, forums are sort of a cold format, but they heat up. By cold format, I mean you're not hearing the person's voice. You're not seeing their facial expressions. You know, you're just looking at words on a screen. And because of that, sometimes things can be really hotter than they were intended. And I don't know how. I mean, I wish you well. I don't know how you really can make it civil and civilized. But my hat's off to you, because you're doing a great job with it. Now, we have to step away for a break. When we come back, I want to talk with you about an incident, a long incident, that was talked about on Open Minds when you were there and on this show at the same time. And we'll do that when we come back. Don't go away, folks. More coming with Chris Iverson right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show, and for those of you joining us just now in this second hour, welcome aboard. We're delighted you are here. My sympathy for whatever kept you away from the first hour. My guest this evening is someone who has had major impact in the world of ufology. Chris Iverson has been for many years over at Open Minds Forum, and recently he and some others have stepped away to do something new, a little bit different direction. We're talking about that this evening. And Chris, I said I was going to bring up something that you and I both dealt with when you were at Open Minds Forum. And we were doing shows about it. The forums, Open Minds forums, were just lit up the night sky over the same story. And I actually used a lot of the Open Minds forum posts as resource material to sort of check into the story and find out what was going on. And that is the story of the Pickering brothers of New York and their alleged, well, not alleged, they had source A, but they were alleging certain things as facts about source A that really got put under scrutiny. And I had the Pickering brothers on this show a couple of times. And I also had some of the people that were posting in your forums on this show to talk about what they had discovered regarding the Pickering brothers and regarding their story. And one of the things that I did pick up on in the forums, people were talking about these guys were a couple of bouncers at a bar, they were bartenders or something like that. And I made a point to say, and so what? What a person does to earn a living has absolutely nothing to do with whether what they're saying is true or not. And, you know, that's a zero. I mean, it truly is a zero. And, so we dealt with that. And but this story was really explosive. How did you handle this over at the forums?
Well, as you said, that was one explosive story. It was through the 5 years that we were there. It was one of the three biggest stories that were ever that was ever discussed there. It was extremely difficult. Per what we were talking about in the first hour, whereby you are trying to elicit information. It was an ongoing breaking story in terms of Richard Thielman, who was the actual source A, passing the information on to Clay and Sean. So it would continuously evolve, continuously change. But you're trying to maintain, once more, the civility of people who believed in it, people who didn't believe in it, while still trying to obtain the information. That was also probably of those controversial stories, it was the one that we were accused more often of being believers and supporters of it. And you know, we used to sit there and joke amongst ourselves that if they only really knew what our true opinions were of it.
And isn't that the truth? There are people who assume that because I have someone as a guest on the show that I am buying their story, that I agree with their story. I have people on this show that I listen to and I ask them questions and we delve into their information and their story. And, you know, and I mean, that's the case with every guest. But there are some who, if you knew what I was really thinking personally, it would be shocking. Because there are times when I'm thinking, you know something? I think you need to go take some pills.
I know exactly what you're talking about. It's a case of the five of us who were the co-owners at OM would be sitting there talking about it, and there literally was not any two of us who were in complete agreement on everything in it. So we were literally all over the board with nobody believing in all of it, but nobody disbelieving in all of it either.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, it was, you know, personally, in terms of what the story was, and it's what gives you the drive to try to stick with it and facilitate it and put up with all the crap that you have to put up with occasionally to be able to do it, is that it sure seemed like there was a lot more behind the story than was evident from what Thielman was presenting or what the Pickerings were talking about. That to me, I constantly felt like I was in a position where I was watching The Magician again. That somebody was putting up this good smoke and mirrors over here because something else was happening over there.
Yeah.
And then as it went on, you could almost see it try to kill itself as information about him seemed to get more and more ridiculous. The photographs of him and a lady friend in a hotel, and he's wearing women's clothing.
Yeah, but you know, see, I dealt with that too, and I dealt with it with the person who put that on the internet. On the air, I dealt with that. It may be strange to many of us. It may be we would think, well, that's weird, and it has zero relevance to whether the story's true or not. Just zero relevance.
It really does. You know, it doesn't detract from the information that was presented early on. I don't think there's any one of us who would open up our private lives 100% to scrutiny to anybody else and not have something that was there that others would look at and go, oh my God, I can't believe this about that particular person.
Yeah, they've pretty much done that to me for years, and you know, my expression for that is, yeah, I'm a hell of a guy. Pushed the wrong button. Sorry about that. I mean, you know, my philosophy is admit everything you ever did, and nobody can blackmail you then.
And that's it. And that's, you know, I've always kind of joked about that is, you know, if people think that we're telling stories or, you know, we're creating stories or telling fibs or whatever, I kind of joke about it and say, I'm just not smart enough to be able to do that. I'd never be able to remember them all. So it is. It's much easier to stick with the truth. You stick with what you know. You pass it on with not always with judgment, because you don't want to pass on your judgment to others. You're trying to present it in a way where you're presenting them the information, and you're not doing so in a way that you are going to prejudge it. You're going to color their thought processes.
Well, and the major media does that. The major media, they do it all the time. They show you the president speaking.
Yes.
And as soon as the president gets through speaking, you just sat there and watched it and heard it. You know what he said. Then they spend the next hour telling you what the president said, and they shape it, and they sort of get it into a mold so that you have it in the form they want you to have it. And, you know, I really, really, really do not need high-paid mic jockeys telling me what I just heard. I did hear what I heard. Let's go to the telephones, because we do have people calling in. And the telephone number is up on your screen, ladies and gentlemen. If you're watching the show, if you're not, you got to ask yourself, why aren't you? It's free tonight. All right, caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. This is Ryan in Washington.
Hello, Ryan.
Yeah, I think that the problem in the field is not necessarily the forums and the hosts, but all the people that are involved need to police each other more often, because you have certain people, certain stories that will get floated, and certain things that will get floated out there, like the I can name a few of them that will last for years and years and years before anybody catches on to them, like the alien autopsy footage. There are still people today that or pushing that out there is legitimate. But I had a question for you both of you. What story or forum posts on Open Minds in the past few years, or just not just on Open Minds, but anywhere in the field, do you think that was seriously an attempt at disinformation? Can you name a certain case that you feel might have been disinformation?
Okay, Chris, you go first.
Well, one of the biggest disinformation efforts to me that was ever out there is the Benowitz, where you had him being fed information continuously, and you had that same source that was going on from Richard Doty being involved with it, where he was feeding Benowitz information. He was feeding Linda Moulton Howe, and basically came out right out years later and said, that's exactly what I was doing. So in terms of being able to say that this was classic disinformation, to me, I'd have to say that that was it, because Doty admitted as much a few years later.
Yes, he did admit that. And very interesting and nefarious character, Mr. Doty. The one that I think is really classic disinformation and well done is SERPO. And the reason I say that, there are things about the SERPO story as it came out, as it was presented, that are pretty verifiably not true. However, I have talked to some insiders who have told me, separate insiders, people who don't have communication with each other, who have told me that there was indeed an exchange program. It was not called that. The details were not exactly what you see in the SERPO papers, but that it did happen. And that two of the crew did return to Earth and were secreted away and have new identities. These are people that I have received information from before that has proved to be reliable information. And so I think that the SERPO story, as it got released, I think from the beginning it was designed and woven together by the disinformationists to, I call it, baby with the bathwater. Once you prove something in the story is false, everybody throws the baby out with the bathwater. And that's a classic, classic tactic of these guys. They'll give you the whole story and put one or two things in there that are easily provable to be false. And people throw the whole story away then. And so, for me, SERPO's the big one. That's a masterpiece.
Oh, it really was. And to add on to what you're talking to there, I've had conversations perhaps with some of the same people you did, and was basically told that what you have to realize out of that is that the core story within that particular core story was, they've been here, we've been there, and we are indeed utilizing their technology today.
That's it. That is it. All right, to the telephone and caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
This is Jock, and I'm calling from the Mojave Desert, California.
Okay, Jock, what's on your mind this evening?
Well, I'm one of the co-administrators of the Outpost, and I'm listening to my friend Chris talk tonight and really enjoying the show. It's wonderful, Kevin. It's been a great experience tonight.
Well, I'm glad you like it.
SERPO was sort of the story that got me involved in this field again. And I made it a point to meet as many of the principals as I could, and I found it absolutely fascinating all the way through, and I wish more information would come in the future.
I do too. Now let me ask you this. I got information from people on the inside who said that two of these astronauts that were in the exchange program had returned to Earth and had been secreted away with new identities. Were you able to find out anything at all about that?
Chris and I attempted to track down one person, and we were unsuccessful, and we looked all over the place. We had a pretty good lead. I've spoken to Victor Martinez many times, mm-hmm. and he knows more than he can say or will say. I believe he knows the identities of some of those people. So it's out there somewhere.
Yes, it is. Jock, thank you for listening to the show tonight, and thanks for calling in.
I enjoyed it very much. Carry on.
All right. Okay, the phone lines are open. The number is on the screen if you're watching, and if you're not, you got to ask yourself why, because it's not costing you anything to watch it. Yeah, I've watched this baby with the bathwater routine being done time and time again.
And the SERPO, as you indicated there, Kevin, is a classic example of that,
mm-hmm.
Where you had some ludicrous items thrown in there. For instance, the list of supplies that they supposedly took with them to the planet, which included items such as lawnmowers and tampons. And as you said, you know, people start to hear that and they throw out the entire story. But when you look at the activity that occurred around it, the number of people that seem to have been activated in the alphabet agencies, in the military, the interest that was shown in it from all of these people from all over the place has to make you think that it touched a nerve, that there was a degree of truth to it. And, you know, what is that degree? So as you said, you know, you start to follow up with some of these people. You know, I had the pleasure last year here, just a few months before he passed away, to meet with Wendell Stevens at the Open Mind Production Studios in Tempe. And his insiders, which were different than the ones that I had spoken with, as the two of us shared who we had gotten our information from, had told him that, very similar to what you said, there were two or three that did come back that were alive, however, didn't live very long after that due to radiation exposure, that they were all dead within 2 to 3 years after their return. So that was another piece of information that, actually, this is the first time I've ever shared this publicly with anybody, but I figure since Wendell is now passed on, I could go ahead and say that.
You know, I first heard about SERPO, although it I don't think that was the name that it was called, but I first heard about it in the mid-1990s, like 1995, 1996. And there was almost no other information available at the time. You couldn't track anything down on it. It was just bizarre and interesting. It did not have all of those fuzzy, weird details that the story had when Victor Martinez began to release the information. And I'm not saying that he inserted that. I'm just saying that the information he was given that he released was the same story with some weird other stuff kind of hung on it like ornaments. And some like information like what you've just talked about. And the fact that I first heard about this and read about this in the mid-90s And now I'm hearing and reading about it again in you know, late 2009, early 2010, I believe it was, is when I got exposed to it again over at Open Minds. And I noticed the differences. And the differences seemed to be bizarre information that was attached to it.
And it really is that, you know, it's almost like, okay, we had this base piece of information, and, you know, one of the theories that I've sort of had about it is that these stories were starting to get out with the proliferation and commonality of the internet in everybody's home. And I believe it was, or they were afraid of it getting more and more difficult to contain. So the story, the actual story, was repackaged with all of these add-ons and put on out there as, okay, here's how we discredit it. We take the story that's out there, the real story that's been heard out there. I've talked to people on the inside who told me that they had first heard about this in the 70s.
Yeah.
That there were rumors about this in the military intelligence that this was going on. And again, from talking to Wendell, Wendell indicated that the Serpo story itself, except for, again, some of these add-ons, is kind of a conglomeration, an amalgam of what may have been at least three different trips. And he believed that one of them may indeed have been to this Zeta Reticuli, but he thinks that the other ones were to Alpha Centauri and... I'm trying to think of what the third one is now. I just can't think of it off the top of my hand. But anyway, that it might not necessarily have been the number of astronauts that they were talking about, that it could
right.
have been two or three or four that went on each of these trips.
Yeah, that's what I heard as well. Now, we have to step away for a break, and when we come back, I want to pick up right there with this Serpo story. And with what you just told us about Wendell Stevens and what he told you, I have a question or two about that. And we will continue our conversation with Chris Iverson, one of the co-owners of the Outpost Forum. We'll be back right after this. All right, welcome back, and we're talking with Chris Iverson. Chris, you had just told us, we were talking about Serpo, Project Serpo, and you had just told us about a conversation you had with Wendell Stevens, now deceased, and he told you that he thought that the story as it has come out is a conglomeration of perhaps three different missions, exchange programs, one to Zeta Reticuli, and the other to Alpha Centauri, and another to somewhere else. Did he say to you why he thought that was the case?
For him, it really was from the research that he had done. As you know, Wendell had a great many and number of just excellent, excellent sources in the military and intelligence world. And he would go out and corroborate what he had heard from different people. And it was interesting in that the people he told me he got his information from was very different from anybody that I had spoken to, or as Doc had indicated, that he had heard from Victor or some of the other people out there. So the sources were definitely very different, but he picked up some different things, and once he had it, he would take it back to those people. For instance, and I had this very conversation with him. So he said, well, you know, the people that told me about Alpha Centauri, I went back to them and said, hey, I hear about this story about a trip to Zeta Reticuli. Are you sure that you weren't, lying to me, or that you just didn't get it right? And the person told me, said, well, all I can tell you is that the project I worked on, and of course it was very much compartmentalized, the project I worked on, the astronauts went to Alpha Centauri. So the person didn't waver from it. He just looked at him, kind of shrugged his shoulders and said, yeah, I guess it's possible. You know, if we went there, we could have gone some other place. And that same conversation more or less happened twice more as he spoke to the people who had given him the information about the other trips.
Okay, so there was Zeta Reticuli, Alpha Centauri, and where was the other one?
The third one, I'm trying to think, might have been Procyon. But I could be off on that. I'm not positive.
I had as my guest just the other night Stanton Friedman, who is, as you know, a nuclear physicist, and who, as a nuclear physicist, worked on the development of nuclear-powered rocket engines back in the 1960s, which they did build and successfully ground test. And then the program was canceled. Nobody wanted to use nuclear rocket engines, but they were built, they were developed, they were designed and built and tested. And I asked him, is it possible that, as far as you guys were concerned, it was canceled, but they simply took all of that into the black world and further developed it and perhaps have used it? And he said, well, oh yeah, that's entirely possible. But you know something? He said that you only have to have 1G acceleration for a year. No, I think he said for 6 months, something like that, to reach the speed of light. Constant 1G acceleration for that period of time to reach the speed of light. Well, he said, so when they say that something is 37 light years away, that's Earth time. It's 37 light years as we measure it, but pilot time would be just over a year.
Wow.
And so he said, speed of light travel is not outlandish. It's possible. And that trips to these far distant places are entirely possible, because pilot time is different from Earth time. So something 39 and a half light years away would be just over a year pilot time to get there.
Well, you know, it's one of the things, again, from the Serpo story, one of the pieces of information that came out and was, you know, again, you know, laughed at, even though people don't necessarily know anything about it, is that it was attempted to be explained in terms of, well, physics are not exactly the same as here as it is out there as we are trying to understand it. And, I at one point in time, I had even had a conversation with Jack Sarfatti about that. And Sarfatti, you know, was very dismissive of it and saying, oh, we know 95% of what there is to know about physics. And, of course, I think...
I know 100% of what there is to know. And here it is. The so-called laws of physics are nothing but human descriptions of our current understanding. And that's subject to change. And if you don't think that's true, can I point you folks to a guy named Isaac Newton and a guy named Albert Einstein? Until Einstein, Newton was infallible. And then Einstein,
absolutely,
he stepped, you know, right over Newton.
And even Einstein was questioning at the end of his life,
yeah,
the veracity of the different things that he had proposed. Even his, you know, classic E equals MC squared, he was indicating that he might have had that wrong.
He does.
And of course, now we're finding out, as you know, recently here in the last few months, that they have multiple results out of CERN that there are particles that, for all, as far as they can tell, these little buggers are traveling faster than the speed of light. Well, how the hell did that happen?
Well, I'll tell you
that
how.
That was the constant.
The first clue is E equals MC squared. E stands for energy, M stands for mass, and C stands for the velocity of light. Do you realize, he said the fastest speed anything could possibly travel in the universe would be the speed of light. Do you realize this equation requires you to square the speed of light to make it work? And you can't do that if it doesn't exist.
That is a great point.
So, yeah, E equals MC squared is if that's true, it's absolute proof that if it's true, then it's absolute proof that something faster than the speed of light exists. And I'll tell you what's faster than the speed of light. It's the speed of dark. When you outrun the speed of light, you have done what? If you outrun the speed of light, there is no illumination. And you are in the dark. You are dark.
I know people like that.
Yeah. Yeah, workers in the dark tend to move pretty fast. They sure do. But the E equals MC squared, as far as I'm concerned, if we're going to say that's true, then we have to admit a speed faster than the speed of light. In fact, we have to admit a speed that is 186,000 miles per second times 186,000 miles per second. That's what C squared is.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, you know, the whole thing with Project Serpo, I found it to be fascinating. Now, I mean, the story by itself is fascinating, but I, because of my background, sat back and watched this thing develop and watched the information that was as it was coming out, comparing it to what I had heard back in the mid-90s, and I was watching and I was saying to myself, this is baby with the bathwater. That's what's going to happen here. And that is exactly what happened. It's exactly what happened. All
it,
you
it
have
sure is. And you had all of these, you know, once again, people that were so interested in this, you know, to the point that these group of people, the six retired individuals from the DOD and DIA that were passing this information on to Victor, were actually visited, and I use that term very loosely, by the FBI a couple of years ago, and they confiscated just an incredible amount of materials from all of them, including hard drives, documents, books, papers, letters, and were told that they were going to be receiving this back, that this was some type of, I believe it was a 2-year or 3-year stay that had been put into place by the government, that they couldn't talk about any of these items that were in their possession. It's now past that time, and they still haven't received it back, and the individuals are still telling Victor that they're trying to get it back, they're still working on it, but this supposedly is our missing information, the additional information that we had all been waiting on, including pictures. And you talk about then, okay, that's one particular story, so I went to one of my sources in the three-letter world and had this person look into it for me and came back and told me it was indeed true, that these people were indeed visited and that there was a sealed set of papers that were issued by a federal judge that gave them the power to go in and take all of this information.
Right. Let's go to the telephone. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hey, Kevin, this is Ryan again. Since nobody's calling in, can I ask one more question, or is it?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay.
Enjoy the last night of calls.
People are probably drinking eggnog and they just didn't want to call. But as far as disinformation goes, I wanted to, since I asked you guys that question, I wanted to express my feeling of one certain case was the movie Fourth Kind.
Mm-hmm.
And other movies like that, because, you know, when people, I think they're using Hollywood as a way to sort of muddy the waters, because when people watch these movies and then they have a real encounter, a real experience, people can write it off as saying, oh, well, that's just Hollywood or that's just fiction. You saw that in the theater, you know, and it's sort of like a psychological way to muddy the waters, because it makes people say, well, as soon as somebody has a UFO experience or an encounter, they'll tie that directly to, well, that just must be Hollywood, or that just must be fiction.
Yeah, you saw that in the movies and you're imagining it.
Say again, yeah. Kevin?
That's all right. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. One question, then I'll get off the line for Chris Iverson. Did you hear anything in your days of looking into SERPO about Dr. Michael Wolff? Have you ever heard any information about him?
Yes.
Could he possibly be been one of the people that was involved in the SERPO?
The best answer I could give is that I would have to say that there's a better than 50-50 chance that he was indeed involved. There have been people that have come out and said, no, it's impossible. You know, again, he's somebody who didn't have the credentials, but his name was also a name that was put out there by several.
All right, we have to step away for break, and we shall return, ladies and gentlemen, right after this, so don't go away. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. This is Kevin Smith, the host, and we are talking this evening with Chris Iverson. Chris Iverson is, of course, one of the co-owners of the new forum called The Outpost, or T-O-P, Top. And when we went away, you know, we were still sort of mulling around the Project SERPO thing, and we were talking about Dr. Michael Wolff, and you mentioned that some people said he might not have had the credentials to go on a trip like that, to be involved with a trip like that. But let me say this. There's been a lot of disinformation about Michael Wolff, who he is and who he is not, from many different sides. But the whole thing about credentials, I mean, folks, you are aware that something like this, they would very possibly send a guy that's a farmer to learn what are they doing with agriculture on these other planets. I mean, that's entirely possible. You know, the point is, people who say he didn't have the credentials have no idea what credentials would have been needed or sought. It's just their imagination. All right, to the telephone caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
It's Carl from Long Island.
Hey, Carl. What's on your mind?
May I speak about the shadow people?
If it has something to do with Chris Iverson, you do. You can.
Sure. Who is Chris Iverson?
Well, Carl, you haven't been listening to the show. I'm sorry, But Chris Iverson's the guest we've been talking to for 2 hours now. So call us back when we have open line. Well,
before we continue there, uh-huh. while we were on break there, Kevin, I did check in with one of the people who I have a lot of faith and trust in, Ed Fouché. And Ed did, in fact, spend quite a bit of time talking and speaking with Dr. Wolf. And even though he was in poor physical condition in his last years, he took him through the ringer in terms of the questioning as to who and what he knew. And he found him to be quite believable. And, mm-hmm. you know, Ed is somebody who spent quite a bit of time because of his own credentials that he's laid out there on the internet for everybody to see, looking at people like Lazar and, looking at the credentials that these people had put out, you know, the physical hard copy credentials, and determined from his experience that those were not, you know, which goes back to your conversation with Dr. Friedman, that they were not, accurate credentials for somebody who would have worked at Area 51 or Groom Lake. But anyway, he spoke very highly of Dr. Wolf and his knowledge.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think it would be certainly interesting to know if Lazar didn't work at Area 51, why the government has not prosecuted him for forgery for presenting a pay stub from out there. So, you know, I think that's, they haven't, and they're not going to, and the reason they're not going to is because that's not a forged pay stub. But anyway.
I'm looking at it in terms of with Lazar, I think he might fall into that category we were talking about earlier, a paid disinformation agent. It'd be another reason why he is not being prosecuted.
That's a possibility as well. Yeah, possible. All right. Tell people how they can visit your forum.
Sure. Very easy to find. Just enter into your address bar or your Google search box, theoutpost.com. And once again, very easy to find for everybody. Just enter into the search box, theoutpostforum.com, and it'll take you right to the main page. Registration is easy. We look forward to having people come by and visit us, and hope you make the Outpost your new favorite place to hang out on the internet.
Are you going to have as open and freewheeling discussions? Are they going to be as we're at Open Mind, or is it going to be more open or less open?
It's actually going to be more open. We have some of the people who we've let in with the first wave here of people who have signed up, which is nearly 250 now. People who have been banned from Open Minds for quite some time, we've allowed them to come back in. And really, for the most part, they've behaved, which mm-hmm. has been great to see. We want them to be able to contribute. We want it to be open. We still want them to treat people with respect and be able to have that mature adult conversation that we had spoken about earlier. It would be great if they could, because they do have things that they can contribute as well.
Well, it's sometimes people, you know, they say, well, I got banned because they don't believe in freedom of speech, but it's you know, because you use abusive language and attack the person instead of speak to the point, that's what causes it. Am I right?
Oh, absolutely. You make it very clear, whether it was at OM, and same thing is going to be here, ad hominem attacks are not allowed. You cannot go after the person. You know, go after the facts, go after the story, go ahead, discuss it. But once you start with an ad hom attack, I'm sorry, but that's going to buy you a ticket out.
Fair enough, and that's the way it should be. And we do the same thing here. If somebody wants to call in and say, you know, Iverson, man, I disagree with everything you just said. And, you know, all that stuff you said about SERPO, I disagree with that. And I think you're wrong. Okay, I'm not, as the host, I'm not going to, interfere with that. If they call in and start calling you names and making accusations against you personally, you know, that buys you a ticket out of here. And, you know, freedom of speech, I believe in. But freedom to slander and to attack someone, that's not in your Constitution, folks. But freedom of speech is. So you can agree or disagree with anybody, and they got to stand on their own 2 feet. I don't defend them. It's just, and we don't have it very often, Chris. It's very rare that we have that. We used to, and a few people bought tickets out of here, and hey, everybody else kind of got the message. So you can call and disagree. You just can't call and attack.
Oh, absolutely. And the one thing you find when that kind of thing happens is you end up with so many members that come up to you afterwards and they'll send you private messages or perhaps even state out in public where they thank you for doing it. Thank you for getting rid of that person. Thank you for getting them out of here. They were a distraction to everybody and everything.
That is true. That is true. They are always of, the ones I've run into are always of the opinion that if you do get rid of them, you know, that's going to take half your audience right there. People are going to follow them. Well, you know, okay, bye.
Yeah, if they think running a forum is so easy, it's a great, big, wide open, beautiful world. Go start one your own.
That's it. That's it. I did have one guy one time that got upset and said, well, I'll just start my own show. And I said, hey, good luck. And he did. And that's what it's about. That's called freedom.
Absolutely. God bless you if you can go do that. Go knock yourself out.
Yeah, absolutely. I want to thank you for being with us this evening. And if you will, just stay on the line with me for a bit. It's been a pleasure and a joy to talk with Chris Iverson again. And go over and check out the forums. It's called, TOP, The Outpost. Oh, man, I'm getting old. I forget stuff. All right, theoutpostforum.com. Go over and check that out. I actually did today, and I think you'll like what you see there. I want to wish all of you a very, very merry, merry Christmas. Be safe. Some of you are starting to travel right now. Do it safely. My friends call me Steel Eye. My enemies do too. You can call me whatever you want to call me. Just keep coming back again and again and again. Until next time, so long, everybody.